Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, the country and world's most irreverent, entertaining, and cool internet talk radio station, where we have stimulating information and just basically great things for you to hear. Entertainment at its finest, helping you out as always on the couch with your doctor. And today we're talking about a controversial subject, as I usually do, but this is fascinating to me because, guys, so much of the time I see couples in my practice, you know, who have these power struggles. I mean, it's a constant. This is what it's about. There's so many contests going on in real life. Well, you said that. No, you said that, and you did that, and you shouldn't have done. It's like, oh, my gosh, I wish y'all were a fly in the room of my office because you'd understand more about what I'm talking about today, or maybe you're living it. Are you guys living these power struggles, couples? Well, it's, you know, it's very common. And we're going to be talking about women in relationships, primarily. And many of the women who what my guest calls are alpha females. Now, we've come a long way from Ward and June Cleaver. Remember that? Well, way before my time. And my guest time, but we can see it on those iconic 50s TV shows, you know, on classic TV channels, the Leave It to Beaver shows. Yeah, we've come a long way. My special guest is going to help you discover what's going on in your relationship, and we're going to be talking about her latest book. It's called The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, and my special guest is Suzanne Venker, and you may have seen her. She's all over the media. She's an author and cultural critic who writes about relationships, marriage, and work-family conflict from a countercultural view. She's a nationally recognized expert on America's gender war. And you've seen her everywhere, like I said. And her writing has appeared in many publications, including Time, USA Today, Parents, New York Post, St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Of course, she's been on the Wall Street Journal, Newsweek, The Atlantic. I'm running out of air. so many television programs as well. You've seen her, appearing on all of them and as a contributor as well, an expert in relationships. So let me ask you some questions, guys out there. Are you an alpha female? You know who you are. Yeah, you know who you are, charging through things. Or do you have a partner who needs to be powerful in every situation? Women, men, women, have you ever been called a control freak, an overachiever, even a drill sergeant? I know I have. Guilty. You know, I am totally guilty and I admit it. So I've learned a lot from Suzanne Venker's new book. And let me ask you a few more questions so we can clarify some things so you don't go anywhere. So you can stay right here on LA Talk Radio. Are you thinking that you're superior to your mate or your partner? As though he needs to, you know, kind of learn a little bit how to do things? You know what I'm talking about, girls. How to dress, what to say, how to shop. In my case, how to do the laundry, how to clean, how to... Is there a giant power struggle going on basically in your marriage? Well, my special guest right now, we're going to bring her up live on the air. She's going to help you out. So you're going to get ready to change your relationship, your marriage, your partnership right now if you're an alpha female, because we're talking about her guide to men and marriage. Hey, Suzanne, thanks so much for coming on the show today. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, Good read. I really enjoyed your book.
Thank you for reading it.
Oh, my pleasure.
Not all interviewers do, and it really helped, so I appreciate that.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. It was great. See, it's my pleasure because I get to really find out what's going on with all the good things. It helps in my practice, by the way. So this is going to be put up on my shelf in my office so I can help folks out who have exactly the same problems that you're talking about and helping. So you suggest that many women are struggling with being this, you know, the alpha woman, or the type A personality, as you suggest, and getting in touch with her feminine side. So can you explain a little bit more what's going on with that?
Sure. So basically, over the last several decades, what we've had is a whole lot of what we call women's empowerment and girl power, or call it what you want, where women have really honed in on becoming very strong and independent and sort of overly developed, if you will, at least that's the way I call it, in their masculine side.
Right.
And in so doing, they forgot about this other side to them that is really far more natural and inherent in most women. And is a very good thing. So it's almost like I kind of comparing it with throwing out the baby with the bathwater. You know, you were so focused on being your own person and making your own way in life. And certainly that's a message from the culture and possibly, probably from your parents if they're of a certain generation.
Right.
And that's all fine and dandy, in at least when you're leading a single independent life and you're working and what have you. But if you're looking to get married and settle down at any point, which, you know, most people do, whether you postpone it or not, and you don't learn the tools for that role, you're going to struggle. Because if you bring forth this persona that you've been developing into that area of your life, you're going to have a lot of conflict. Chances are you're going to have a lot of conflict. And so that gets into the whole, you know, masculine-feminine dynamic and the male-female dance and what men are needing and looking for versus what men are needing and looking for in terms of, you know, a long-term relationship that is natural for them and how it works in how it's designed to work in tandem with the opposite sex so that you don't end up with these two alphas coming at each other, which I think is what we have today.
Gosh, I think you're right. I see that so much of the time. I really do, Suzanne.
Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking that that's why I really enjoyed your book, because it's part memoir and part advice. So it is practical advice, and it is sort of a self-help book. And I love the way that you're very transparent and kind of share your experiences. So can you talk about those that pretty much taught you how to be a wife, as you suggest, through trial and error?
Right. So my story is a little bit different than a lot of young women's today. I come from a long line of alpha females, and they, they were very strong women, very strong-willed women. They had made their own way in life, all those things that, you know, we hear you're supposed to do as a woman. This was back before women did this.
Right.
But they also were married for decades.
Oh, yes.
Now, some of them, I can't speak for everybody's marriage in my family, but as far as my own mother's concerned, she definitely was never able to let go of that alpha persona.
Yes.
And again, you could call that type A, you could call it difficult. is usually my favorite word, because she was a very, very difficult woman. She was an extremely endearing and fun and lovable woman,
right?
Interestingly enough, but she had this very difficult nature that she was never able to get a hold of. So it really carried throughout their marriage my whole life, and was a very big, had a huge effect on both my sister and me, because there was so much conflict. And I don't think I really, I mean, I always knew it my whole life, but my marriage, I've been married 19 years.
Wow.
And yeah.
Well, congratulations to you, girl. You've done something right here.
Thank you.
It's very successful.
Yeah. We have two teenagers. And while our marriage is nothing like my mother's and father's, I definitely feel that I sort of absorbed I think most of women do, and you could probably say it's about men too, but we're just focusing on women, sort of
right.
absorb whatever their moms were like. They're
right,
kind of,
right.
It's unless they were horrible and they went in the other direction.
Right.
I think we just kind of absorb,
right.
you know, whatever we
right.
saw. And so my personality is very much like my mother's, the difference being that I'm much more introspective, and she
yes.
was just not able to do that in any, she could not look at herself in any way, shape, or form.
Yes.
So she was never able to come out of it. And it, my story was such that I'm very, very introspective. So I was recognizing what was going on in my own marriage, and of course, listening to my husband tell me over and over, stop directing my traffic. You
right.
know, by the time, you know,
exactly.
you're hearing that after so
right.
many years,
yeah, sure,
something has to be done, because there was just too much bickering,
mm-hmm.
and it mm-hmm. wasn't. It was unnecessary bickering. I mean, it wasn't. We're not talking about major marital problems. We're talking about dumb stuff.
Right.
And it was
yeah,
tiresome.
Exactly.
You know,
yes.
I got so sick of it, and he was sick of it, and I couldn't figure out if it was him, if it was me, or what the heck the deal was.
Right.
So it was a process, and so the book is sort of explaining that process and showing you how I came out on the other end, and
yes.
how I believe you can too if you, you know, follow these the same sort of structure that
right.
I'm laying out.
Exactly. And, you know, there's nothing wrong, as you point out, you know, with being a strong alpha female. But the thing is we sometimes need to shut the switch off. I mean, we have to chill out.
Right.
I am guilty of coming home.
You have to chill out.
And I know you are, too. But you've changed, because that's why you wrote the book. So I kind of come home.
Yeah, and
come
the game.
With,
the,
yeah.
And people, some people are afraid of it because they think you're not going to be your true self, or you're not
right.
going to be heard, or you're going to become the shell of a person if you're quieter, or if you
right.
don't argue as much, if you don't get your word out.
Mm.
It's nothing like that. It has nothing to do with submission, which,
yes.
of course, people who are really filled with fear will come at it with that.
Sure.
This is about learning how to compromise and get along with and understand men and how they operate and what they respond to, how they best respond to you,
yeah.
and how you can make it so that it's easier and you don't have that conflict and you can relax more. So
right.
it's a good thing for you as a woman to do. It's not a negative.
Exactly. No, it really isn't. If we can just, again, segue into sort of a different old zone, because I mean, you talk about how most of the time when we start a relationship, right, in the beginning, generally guys, and I hate to be sexist and start, but it's our brains. It's the way we function. I've studied
right.
a lot about this and what's firing up in those fMRIs. You know, the man is the alpha and the woman is a little more the beta.
Mm-hmm.
So our relationships begin to change over time. And a lot of times we jump in, like you said, we jump into that really strong role. And a lot of times it happens in the workplace, or we're out there in the world and we have to take on certain responsibilities. But sort of, can you talk about that sort of slow change that
yeah,
takes place?
Yeah. And ironically, I think that actually at-home mothers are more susceptible to this, believe it or not,
mm-hmm.
than those who are employed. Because I think let's put it this way. When you're employed, most people have a boss. You're not usually in charge. You know, most people aren't in charge necessarily
right.
at work. But as a mom at home, you are definitely in charge, and you should be in charge, right?
Right.
You should be in control. You don't want your children in control of you. So you go into... Hopefully not. Although
sometimes.
That is another problem today, but we won't
right.
discuss it.
Yeah.
So you kind of naturally get out of that wife/girlfriend mode, and you go into mother mode, understandably so, and you inadvertently just never really learn how to come out of that during the evenings and weekends, let's say,
yeah. Yeah.
when or whenever you're around your husband, and you start to treat him a little bit more like he's one of the children
mm-hmm.
instead of the way you treated him before you ever had children, which mm-hmm. I'm sure that 99% of us, mm-hmm. when we think about how relationship started, it was nothing like it ended up,
right.
assuming your way into the
yeah.
relationship and you can look back.
Yeah. Yeah.
That whole beginning phase was very natural. You
yeah.
didn't have to think about it.
Yep.
He called you.
Right.
He took you out. He paid the bill. He asked you to marry him. Those are all natural states to be in.
Right.
And I'm saying the more you can keep that natural state,
mm-hmm.
the better off you're going to be in your relationship and the happier you're going to be.
Right.
So you need to think back to what you did. You were naturally receptive
mm-hmm.
to his overtures. He was leading. he made those overtures.
Right.
And you just, you know, batted your eyes and you were just all, you know, oh, you just can do no wrong.
Yeah. You're in the honeymoon phase of, oh, I'm just, you know, it's all great.
Yeah. And I know you can't keep that forever.
No,
I'm not suggesting that, but I am suggesting that you can keep that dynamic going.
Right.
Even if you can't keep that feeling going,
you can keep
the dynamic going
exactly. By
choosing to go into receptive mode and not dictatorial mode.
Right. And of course, you're not saying that we have to become passive all of a sudden and
bow down
and become these, you know, victims of, you know, an alpha male who's, no, you're not saying that at all. Right.
But I am arguing that most men are not that way. And that's been a cultural meme that has been thrust down women's throat. This idea that the average man left unchecked is going to walk all over you.
Right.
You know, and make it so that you're just, you have, you know, your shell of a self. And men don't want to do that.
No.
That's not what the average man wants. He wants to take care of you. He wants to help you. He wants, I mean, wrong word. He wants to be of service to you.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
No,
and make you happy. And you need to let him do that in order for the relationship to work well.
Yes.
The fact that there are bad men out there, there's bad women out there too, but you need to put them out of your mind. The average person is not interested in your being passive in that way that you were just alluding to. A man wouldn't even like that. He wants you to have a voice and a identity. He just wants you to be easier.
Yeah.
Kind of to get along with.
Don't be so hard to live
and more
with.
Receptive.
That's exactly right. I talked about
that in the book with my mother, how my father was attracted to her strength
and
her opinions and her take charge, but he couldn't have anticipated that would ultimately turn on him, you know, and become... we've often talked or heard about, you know, the thing that you love the most about the person, if you're married long enough, becomes the thing that's really annoying later.
Exactly.
And it's sort of like that. Like, he didn't realize that it was going to hate the thing that he loved. And that's a strong word, but,
It's true, though. Who would have thought?
Complicated. Yeah.
No, it is complicated. Right. In case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio, and my special guest today is Suzanne Venker. She's the author of The Alpha, Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, and we are talking about her book today. It's her latest out. By the way, you know Suzanne. You've seen her on all sorts of media outlets, and also she's a writer. She's author and cultural critic who writes about relationships, marriage, work, family conflict from a countercultural view. And, of course, you've seen her all over the place. She's appeared in many publications, Time, USA Today, Parents, New York Post, and, of course, her television appearances are all over the place. ABC, The View, CNN, C-SPAN's Book TV, and a whole lot more. And I'm honored to have you on the show today, Suzanne, because this is a real, you know, controversial subject, and it's difficult to try to get across. I know you've been challenged in so much of the media, and I know that there's a lot of critics going on saying, you just want to, you know, bow down and be this submissive female and all that. But that's not what you're saying. And that's not what I got from your book at all. You know,
You know, what's funny is I do get that. You're right. Because again, it's that countercultural thing, something that you're not used to. And then if you actually read what I write, you don't get that at all.
Exactly.
I mean, I get this constantly. Wow. What someone said and what I got from it after I really read it are not the same.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a common theme. And the other running joke is my children say, if people think that you're submissive, that's just laughable.
Right. Exactly.
It's like just the mere idea of you being submissive is funny.
Right. So let's talk about some of the common mistakes that we as women make, which create a lot of problems in our relationship. We kind of briefly touched on, you know, mom and you know, how that went down. But what are we doing that's messing up things, Suzanne?
So, you know, I think a lot of times they're behaviors that we don't really recognize are necessarily bad when you unless someone points them out to you. So, like, it could be anything from interrupting or talking over him or finishing his sentences or eye rolling. That's a really big one. It wasn't something I ever did really, but I've seen people do, and I just cringe when I see it.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing is more insulting than an eye roll.
Ooh,
you know, and
these
are little things that over time, you know, you're sending a message when you, with your body language in a way. And, you know, people ask me, well, isn't this the same way with men or reversed gender? Yes. The difference is that women are more prone to it.
Yes.
They're just, men don't tend to do those things in the same frequency that women do.
Yes.
First of all, they're naturally more respectful, in my opinion.
Wow.
Because respect is something that they crave and need. Mm-hmm. And so they're so in touch with the concept of respect that they're naturally respectful toward women. Mm-hmm. I think for women, it isn't that way, and they don't realize that they're being disrespectful when they are, but that's how it's being read on the other end.
Interesting. Okay.
So those are just some, really obvious ways that kind of a red flag.
Right. And like you said men are simple, not stupid. Men are simple. They're basically, and again, we sound like we're generalizing, guys. We really do. But, I mean, we're just sort of looking at the brains and the activities going on between men and women and historic information about how men really are action-oriented. Let's do. Let's take care of. How can I fix the problem? You know, I'm not going to go into the emotion of how I'm suffering about this problem. I'm going to fix it for you. And, because both of our sides of our brains are firing. And, again, it is, just sort of God's cosmic joke. We're all full of emotion and trying to get overwhelmed with it. But then, again, as you talk about that shift to that sort of left brain, I'm going to control and power, this is how I'm going to manage things, and takes place within us, and that doesn't work very well. So men are not stupid. Men are simple and not stupid, guys. So don't be, I'm getting emails. Oh, dear. StraightTalkDoc@gmail. It's StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com, guys. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, on TV, they get that message constantly.
Right,
so that's what's so sad, and that's what I hate about it, is that television and sitcoms and commercials are paint husbands and fathers as stupid, which is why I don't, when I say simple, I have to qualify it because of that message coming through the screen.
Oh, yeah, the commercials and like you said, the sitcoms or series, and why is that happening? What's going on with that, Suzanne? Why are so many...
So that's a larger issue.
No.
Just a much larger issue in terms of how men are being treated in society at large today, which is what I believe is an overcompensation for what we think women were treated like back in the day. And, of course, they were not treated nearly as badly as men are today. I mean, it's really off the wall. That's a whole nother topic or another conversation. But it's... I wrote a book called The War on Men, addressing that very issue of the trouble that men and boys are in today because of our attitude toward that gender.
No, exactly. It's just sort of, I do see some trends happening in society as well. And again, with some of the relationship issues that I see in my office, it is a problem. What I also see is a lot of men really have gotten in touch with their... I guess I might say the right brain, with their emotional side, with their feelings. Mm-hmm. They've really kind of, I don't want to say had to make the shift, but I mean, we're allowing them in our society to be a lot more verbal. And I see a lot more men coming into therapy than I used to. I mean, it's really safer.
Yeah.
And they're seeing me as a woman. They're not seeing my partner, down the hall, who's a guy's guy and helps. Hmm. They're seeing me. Yeah. So I kind of like that safety. That they're feeling, and they are really verbal and they are emotional, and I love that in a way. And I'm not asking them to break down and turn into the right brain female, but I think at some time it's important for them also to change it up,
Well, and this book, really, The Alpha Female's Guide, is all about finding that balance. I actually talk about a spectrum. In the book, where I say, nobody's 100% alpha and 100% beta.
Right.
We all have, I have a lot of masculine tendencies myself, and that's, and everybody's got some mix of it. It's really about finding that balance with the person that you're with, and not, and that can take years to really get to that happy place.
It sure can, but your book will help them. So it's called The Alpha Females.
So.
Yeah. The Alpha Females Guide to Men and Marriage. Suzanne Becker, my special guest today. And regular listeners, to email me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, straighttalkdoc @gmail.com coming in here live into the station. And I've got some emails and questions that some folks are asking, which I can bring up. We can handle these, Suzanne. You can do this.
Sure.
You've come up to a lot more adversity than the LA Talk Radio listeners here. So let's talk about some of those tools. It is not easy for us to learn how to downshift, we alpha females, from fifth to first gear. You know, we're out there in the world, we're doing our thing, we're, I don't know, leading companies, we're managing people, we're just doing a lot. So how do we sort of downshift back into chilling out a little bit more to first gear when we come into our environment with our partners or our families?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me anyway was getting out of argumentative mode. Mm. Now, and this is something where if I can do this, anyone can, because what I do during the day is very unique. I mean, mm-hmm. most people don't, you know, take controversial positions and defend them in their writing and go on TV and do this. So you can see how for somebody like me, I'm always in that mode. Mm-hmm. Then to shift gears, it's actually not difficult once you get a handle on it and understand that you have to do it.
Right.
But initially, if it's not in the forefront of your mind or if no one's ever pointed out, mm-hmm. chances are you're just going to stay in that mode.
Yeah.
So for me, it was about not arguing, not mm-hmm. saying no so much. Mm-hmm. And by no, I don't necessarily even mean the word no. I mean, there's a lot of ways that we say no without saying no.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody says something and you're playing devil's advocate, that's mm-hmm. a no.
Yes.
If somebody makes a suggestion, you make a different one. That's a no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I read something online the other day where a wife was saying, oh, my husband, here's how a typical conversation looks like in our house. I say, where do you want to go for dinner? And he throws out a solution or an answer in our suggestion.
Right.
What am I trying to say here? Cool. And each one she would knock down and say something else or no, I don't like that. And then at the end she's like, aren't I a delight? Ah.
Yeah,
and I get that.
Yeah.
I've been there, done that. But what I'm saying is that's what has to stop. Because each time you asked him,
right?
And then he gave you a suggestion, unless it's really bad, and you were just like, I can't eat that, or that's terrible.
Right.
Just say, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
Just to go, because when you, again, look back when you were dating.
Yes.
What would you have said if he said, let's go to sushi? Let's just say you hated sushi, and he said, let's go see sushi. Have sushi. You probably would act like you liked sushi.
Right. Because you're trying to,
Or you suffer through it and try to find something else on the menu.
Right.
But you wouldn't say, no, I want to go to this place.
Exactly.
There's no way you would do that when you're meeting.
No, it's true. You want to just kind of chill and then I'm not
digging
this.
You just want to be with the person.
That's right. No, exactly. And it is. It's amazing the way that we see these things. So downshifting is, like you said, getting out of the argument. The arguing kind of mode that you're in, because you're always sort of having to prove yourself. Sometimes we do. We have to prove ourselves at work or our, you know, worthiness or how powerful or strong. And that's normal in the workplace or in the marketplace.
Right. And if you're not arguing, then just get out of instruction leader mode. Let's put it that way, where you think that you have to have everything just so, and you've got to be the orchestrator of it, but rather you go into receptive mode and just be more, I guess, just laid back instead of in charge. You want to be receptive and laid back and saying okay and being more conciliatory rather than commanding all the time.
Right.
So and that allows your spouse, your husband, to want to be near you, number one, because you're just easier.
Sure.
And two, you probably want him to step up to the plate. We hear a lot of women wondering, well, my husband won't do this, my husband won't do that, he just sits on the couch. A lot of that, sorry to say, is probably because of the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of a chicken or egg thing. We think, I'm going to nag at him, and that's going to get him, which of course never works.
Yes.
But if you change your approach to something, he's more likely to respond the way you want him to respond.
Yes.
But if he's used to your being in charge all the time and then complaining about everything he does when he does it, he's going to check out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to start complaining that your husband doesn't do anything when, in fact, you're the one who got him there in the first place.
Yes, exactly.
It
makes so much sense. In case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest here is Suzanne Venker. She's the author of The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage. This is her latest book. She is a relationship expert and a cultural critic. Author, writes a lot about marriage, work, family conflict, sort of from a countercultural view. But you'll see in her book that it's really a good workbook. It's more like a self-help and pointing out situations that we can all identify with as being alpha females. So funny, usually a lot of times in my life, you know, we kind of reserve Saturday mornings for, you know, getting a sitting down, my husband and I, chilling out, getting an overview of the bills and what's going on, you know, just kind of strategies, economic, mm-hmm. and we're sitting down and relaxing. And we did this last Saturday, got up, met some friends for lunch. And they said to him, "How are you feeling today?" And he said, "I don't know. It depends on what my wife thinks I did wrong," when we were talking about our bills today. And I went, "Oh, God. Oh, my God, I've done it again. Oh, my God, I'm so..." And I didn't fight. I went, "You know what? He's right." I was saying, no, I'd ask him, "What do you think I should do about this, this, this?" And he'd give me a solution, and I already had the answer. I really, honestly, God, guilty. So guilty. So here's the deal. We have an email from Anthony, who just wrote in, and it's relevant. That's why I'm throwing it out here. There are a lot of kind of relationship questions going on coming in from listeners. But Anthony says, "Suzanne, you are so right! Exclamation point. Why does my partner ask me questions when she already has the answer and will correct me on my feelings? What is up with that?" Thank you, Anthony. I appreciate that. So what is up with that?
That's a great question. Oh my God. So what she needs to be doing, well, first of all, oh my gosh.
Oh man.
Women want to be heard.
Right.
They want to be heard. They much more, well, people I think also want to be heard, men and women, without having to be told what to do or be corrected. So when a woman's doing that, she's already, you're right, she's got this idea in her mind, and she wants you, what she really, really wants is for you to agree with her. She wants you to say what she wants you to say.
Yes.
Not. She doesn't want to know what you want to what you think. She wants you to. She's hoping that you're going to agree and say what she thinks.
Yeah.
And when you don't, it's disruptive to her plan. Her plan is, wait, this is what I think, and I want you to agree.
Right.
So you have to understand that she's not really wanting to know what you think, which is terrible. She should want to know what you think. And
sure.
But you have to understand where her head is. She wants you to agree with her. So you're probably best off asking her about what do you want the answer to be? Ask her, what do you want me to say?
Oh, gosh.
And then hopefully she'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, well, I appreciate what, you know, I get that. I hear you. I just don't agree. And here's why.
Mm-hmm.
And then go from there
and
see if you can figure out to a happy place. But that just know that when she's asking you, you're absolutely right. You've figured out by now that she doesn't really want my answer. She wants me to agree with whatever she already thinks.
Right.
And the truth is, it's hard. We're not always going to agree with each other.
No.
So we have to just put it on the table and say, and make it less of a personal thing and more of a, what is it that you want? And then maybe you agree, which would be great. And if you don't, we got to do something about it, because you have to agree in the end.
Well, it's so
but
true.
But that's what's going on there.
No, it's a great answer. Thank you, Suzanne. And thank you so much, Anthony, for writing in. That was funny and perfect. Relevant to exactly what we were talking about. If you would like to email us, you can do so at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. We do have several questions coming in, which is, this is really cool. This is from Brittany, and she said, "I am a manager of a startup company. I've been very successful here in Los Angeles. And are you saying that I have to suck it up and stand in my guy's shadow when I come home and try to have a nice relationship with him?" No.
So I think we've already kind of covered that.
Yeah.
That's the fear.
Yeah.
And the answer is no, that's not what you're doing.
Right.
You're simply toning down your need to be right or to have the last word and to just be a nicer, more conciliatory, more generous person rather than feeling like you have to beat your chest and be heard all the time.
Right.
And there's a balance there between that and this idea that that means you have no identity or that you're going to walk in someone's shadow. I mean, so much of that
mm-hmm.
is just fear. That's all it is. It's
right.
not a reality. It's what we've been taught.
Right.
We get the message from the culture left and right, and we secretly fear it if we saw it in our own lives somewhere, whether it's our parents or our own history or whatever.
Sure.
But it's just fear. And
right.
you can't come at a relationship, I mean, if you do come at a relationship based with all these fears, which I think is definitely a huge problem
mm-hmm.
you're going to struggle because right. you have to come at it from a place of love.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you're going to get the reaction that you ultimately want, much more so than when you're coming at it out of fear.
Right. Perfectly said. That's beautiful. And thank you so much for emailing us, Brittany. That's a good point. I really like that. So it's sometimes as well, keeping in with that idea, I always ask folks, what are you defending? What are you, and you just put it perfectly, Suzanne, what are you feeling so bad about yourself that you are not enough of enough, that you have to constantly defend or have a contest with your partner? You have to prove that, nope, you got the upper hand and you are, and it is kind of about, you gotta chill out and be okay with who you are. Because you have you don't have to defend anything, right? You're good. But most of us have issues, unresolved stuff, and we've bought into messages that are not so great about ourselves growing up, and then we have to prove it as adults constantly, you know.
So. Yeah, I wanted to read you something from
cool.
an article that
great.
This man wrote.
Love it.
That I put on my desktop because it's so perfectly encapsulated what we're talking about.
Nice.
Men are just not interested. Well, wait a minute, hold on. The truth is, men love strong and independent women.
Hmm.
What men don't love are the predominantly masculine traits that often go along with the package.
Hmm.
The relentless competitiveness, necessary in the workplace, no doubt, but not at home. The verbal aggression, the emotional manipulation, and the psychological controlling are huge turnoffs.
Mm.
Men just aren't interested in competing at work and then having to come home and compete with their partners.
Mm.
In the sphere of heterosexual relationships, most women are not attracted to emasculated feminine men, which is fair enough. But by the same token, most men are not attracted to masculine, domineering women.
Mm. You know,
so that could be a, you know, perfect quote on the back of my book.
Yes, it could.
I mean,
it's really good.
That's it in a nutshell.
No, that's really true. And again, we're, you know, we are generalizing and all that. But, you know, if you look at some of the studies and the statistics and surveys of the way men and women's brains work, it's a physiological thing as well, societal, but more physiological, I think, if you really look at those things. The way it is. And I'm not saying anything negative about feminism or power or an alpha female who really is working hard and doing so well and getting in touch with her more powerful male, I guess we'll say traditional male side or whatever. It's very important to have yin yang. It's very important to have that within all of us. But I think you're right, Suzanne. I think within relationships, even though, you know, women have changed, men have changed as well. But I think we need to really kind of understand what's going on. And I think your book is sort of helping folks out to understand exactly what's going on and why we're having a lot of, why my business is flourishing.
Right, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It's like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't talk about your book. I'm getting a lot of business here, Suzanne. I don't know. Anyway. So maybe we can get down to some of the brass tacks here of some of the tools that you suggest, because I always get emails from folks who want to know, so how can I change? How can I make my relationship better? And I have several of those coming in. So all of you women who've emailed me just now and said, I've done some stupid things, how can I change? And, you know, just completely go to the other side and become this chilled out beta woman. So you say we need to learn how to relax. How can we relax?
I'm sorry, that made me laugh.
I'm so glad. I love it.
That's a title, The Chilled Out Beta Woman.
Oh, yeah.
Or
next
wife,
book.
Beta wife. Not so much beta woman,
yeah.
Beta wife. It's very important.
There you go.
It's alpha woman / beta wife. Two
See?
Different things.
Perfect. There you go. Next book, Suzanne. There you go. That's part two for you, the guidebook.
Right.
The workbook with pages to write down your behaviors.
Yes. Yes.
And then correct them. So how can we learn to chill out and
so
relax?
This is a general guidebook for sure, the Alpha Females sure. Guide. So I have 10 chapters in there.
Yep.
And each one is about shifting. It's, you know, this whole thing is about a mind shift. That's mm-hmm. just really what this is. Mm-hmm. And your attitude towards something, in my opinion, can make or break your success with it. That's how significant an attitude can be. So I'm trying to get people to shift their mind away from what they're used to or what they've been taught to do that isn't working. Mm-hmm. And if it is, if what you're doing is working, then just move on. You don't need me or this book. But if it's not, it's a very good chance that this could be why. So I'm saying in these 10 different chapters, you know, the first one's wave the white flag, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which basically means, to give up control, unnecessary control.
Right.
And then decide to stay, mm-hmm. which is another chapter that talks about your attitude toward divorce.
Right.
And it sounds, it's a little different from the other chapters that are more specific, but it's important. What you think about marriage and divorce is really important because if you approach it with a, well, at least I can always get divorced if it doesn't work out attitude, chances are that's what's going to happen.
Right.
If you go into something psychologically mm-hmm. thinking that you can't get out of it, you're actually going to be more successful at
mm-hmm.
it.
Yep.
Now, that's kind of a controversial thing to say because nobody wants to feel like they're ever stuck. But mm-hmm. actually, from the data perspective, and I talk about that in that chapter, you're actually better off when you're feeling trapped than when you're not because you're forced to deal with and solve the problem rather than knowing you have a way out.
Yeah, don't book.
It's a mind mess. You're like messing with your mind in a good way.
Exactly.
So that's another one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've talked about not saying no.
Right.
And I even have a whole chapter on not, talking less, just simply not talking so much.
Right.
Which, again, a big one for people like myself, who's talking is, it's a female thing in general, but
it's
especially true for some more than others that, they want to talk and men don't, they can only handle so much of that banter before they just tune out.
Right.
And so if you want to be heard, you're better off learning how to speak their language by saying what you need to say in fewer words.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be more receptive than if you go on and on and on and on.
Yes.
That's a biggie. That's a really biggie. And it took me years and I'm probably still working on that one, because I do naturally talk. So your husband's not your girlfriend though. He's not your mom. He's not, you can't treat him as though he is, because it just doesn't work that way.
Right.
So
it's like,
he's not.
Yeah. How can I fix the problem? We need to download from our stressors or whatever in the world. But they're going to, how can I fix a problem? They're not going to be like our girlfriends, like you said. Uh-huh. Wow. And how did that make you feel? Oh, it must have been horrible. Oh, my gosh. Yes, I know. I totally get what you're saying because that happened to me the other day. No, we're not getting that.
That's not men.
No.
And we don't need to make them into anything else. They're fine the way they are. You need to respect that and work with what they have to offer, not try to manipulate them to get them to be and think and act like you. That's a biggie.
It is a biggie, and it is kind of cool to embrace viva la difference, embrace the change, the alpha and the beta, embrace the change, embrace the yin yang, and it's okay. It's a dance we share. But it's like do some slow dancing, chill out.
Right, and you can't both move in the same direction in order to dance.
That's right. Learn to do the tango. What I hear from a lot of women is that they sometimes, because they're so used to controlling, the work environment, the home environment as well. Many situations out there, and we do have a lot more freedoms these days. Thank God. And are respected and being hired mm-hmm. more in mm-hmm. powerful positions. But we've sort of learned, and I hear this a lot in my practice, to kind of not trust our husbands/partners' decisions or trust that they mm-hmm. can do the job, period. So how can we sort of back off and learn to trust and just, my key word is allow, just zip it, allow. So how would you suggest that a lot of times we trust?
Well, that's it right there, is you keep your mouth shut and you let him do it the way he's going to do it. And the sky is not going to fall. I mean, it's really about getting your head around the fact that the world doesn't have to function the way that you think it needs to function every moment.
Right.
And so if he's taking care of the kids and he doesn't brush their hair just so, or put on the right outfit and doesn't match, I mean, who really cares?
That's right.
Really, who cares?
No,
and you
right.
have to get to the place where you understand it really just doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't know, I'm so out of the little kid mode. My kids are so much older, but that's... That's the only example. I don't know why I thought of that example.
But it happens.
Just whatever it is. You know, if he's going to cook, you ask him to cook dinner one night. Well, then don't complain about what he cooks. Just eat it and say thank you for, you know. It's almost like, it's like treating him the same way you would treat a friend or a neighbor or a coworker, you know. And if you immediately shift and go, no, what would I do if this were my coworker?
Yes.
Or my neighbor? Then it really gets easy. You're like, oh, yeah, I see what I'm doing now. I naturally treat these other people differentially, if you will, but not my own husband. Why?
Yes.
Why not?
Why is that? Well, because, again, we've enmeshed them as, you know, our partner that's all those things, I think, sometimes. You know, well, they are. They should have incorporated, you know, being part of our girlfriends or incorporated the feminine side and incorporated all these. They must get who we are and allow us to, you know, take control of everything. I think you're right, Suzanne. I think it's just sort of it's become that, and I see it a lot again. So it's, you know, it's a tough one. So just to sort of sum things up to help folks out, because I want to tell people how they can get in touch with you in just a little bit and find out more about you and your other books, which are terrific in helping people out, working out their relationships. And also it's therapeutic for getting their identity together. Who am I? What, you know? So what is one of the most important lessons in your book? And it's The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, that we as women have to learn to try to maintain healthy relationships.
I think if I had to pick one, I would say it's about learning to respect men. And specifically your man. Because once you understand that the significance of that word and that meaning to a man, you really unlock the code to fixing really almost any problem you have. Because if he feels respected, you're going to get the response from him that you ultimately are looking for, and you're going to have less conflict in the home.
Yes.
And if he does not feel respected, it's going to be hell.
Wow.
So just that one switch alone, which is not a small switch, let's face it, because first of all, you've got the cultural crap that you've got to wade through, because we just as a culture are not respecting men at all. So there's that problem. Then there's the problem if you've been married a long time or together a long time, you have oftentimes built up resentment from things that have occurred. And when you have that, it becomes very difficult for you to respect your partner if you're so busy resenting him.
Right.
And this can go both ways, for sure. And that's why resentment really is the number one, and you could vouch for this maybe more than I, since you see these people daily. Resentment, once it creeps in, it's very hard to get back out.
Oh, it is.
And so it's natural to become resentful, but you want to immediately get rid of it, because if you don't, it will fester, and then you will start acting disrespectfully as a result of that resentment.
Yes.
And this is much more common for wives than for husbands, because as I said, husbands know how to be naturally respectful because they crave it so much. So they're not going to be they're not going to be as disrespectful on a daily basis to their wives.
Yes.
And they don't store up as much resentment as women do, because you know how it is, you know, men, you know, men will get off their chest and be done with it. Women will hold on to it for years, that whole kind of thing. So there's just a lot more going on here within women or wives than with husbands. There's just two different things going on within them.
No, it's so true. Suzanne, what is the best way that listeners can find out more about you and see you on the media and also get a hold of your latest book and all of your other great books? But your latest book, by the way, is The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage.
And that you can just Google The Alpha Female's Guide and you'll get where you need to go. And if you're looking for more than that, then it's just my website, which is my name, SuzanneBenker.com.
Perfect. Well, it's gone fast. Thank you so much for being on the couch here with me today. It's just really terrific to meet you.
Thank you for having me.
Via satellite. And, oh, you're so welcome. Your book is great and most helpful. Great therapy. You know, really, you're
excellent.
You know, you're taking business away from me, Suzanne. So, what kind of...
No, adding
just kidding,
to it.
Girl.
Adding to it.
That's right. It's going to be up on my shelf in my office. So,
excellent.
All
Thank
right.
You.
Many
that.
Blessings, and folks, keep an eye out for Suzanne Venker and all of her books as well. Check out her website, and this show will be up in the archives as soon as we get off the air, and also on my iTunes podcasts for free. If you just tuned in a little bit late, you can check out the whole interview and find out how to be, guided. Mm-hmm. If you're the alpha female out there. Have a good one, Suzanne, and thanks so much for being on the couch.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All right, guys, that's about it for today. Boy, time's gone fast, as always, when I have a great guest on the show. Thanks for listening so much. This is Dr. Michelle. I'm about ready to get off the couch here. More great shows coming up next year on LA Talk Radio. Don't you go anywhere. Next week, we got a little more spiritual thing. We're going to get in touch with our higher selves. What does that mean? We're going to find out about how to get in touch with some guides out there, people who can help us come into our lives and really bring us knowledge and more joy in general. Ooh, that's going to be fun as well. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take good care. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. That's the way it works in the world. Bye-bye. Flashing rays of coming light.